Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi there, this is Martina Navratilova, and you're listening to the Tennis Podcast.
Well, hello and welcome to the Tennis Podcast on a day that has been largely frustrating at the US Open because the two women's semi-finals couldn't be played because of the rain. Serena Williams and Roberta Vinci and Flavia Panetta against Simona Halep will have to come back tomorrow and fight it out another day. What it does mean, though, is we get Super Friday. Super Saturday may have gone, but we have Super Friday. Both women's semi-finals, followed by both men's semi-finals. And in this edition of the Tennis Podcast, brought to you in association with The Telegraph, we are going to be hearing from Mark Philippoussis, the man that was Roger Federer's first ever Grand Slam final opponent. He was speaking to me on BBC Radio 5 Live Sports Extra, and we're going to play that interview for you here on the Tennis Podcast. And the same with Goran Ivanišević, who I spoke to this morning as Marin Cilic was just going out to practice indoors because of the rain. My name is David Law, and I'm joined by Catherine Whittaker of Eurosport. And Catherine, it's blowy, it's cool, it's overcast, and it's been a bit of a frustrating day.
It's been a wholly frustrating day. If it hadn't been for your marvellous interviews with Philippoussis, Ivanišević, it would have been a bit of a blowout, definitely a washout.
Basically both, because it's blowing as well out there.
Well, there you go. But thankfully, you've rescued something good from the day to bring some joy to all of our Tennis Podcast listeners.
Excellent, absolutely right. Now, the day began, as I mentioned, pretty frustratingly because of the rain, and this place is a bit of a ghost town, isn't it? But what it does mean is that, as I mentioned, we have Super Friday, and the mind goes back to the days of Super Saturday. Are you going to miss that at all? I mean, tomorrow's going to be like a throwback, isn't it? I remember 1992 was the year that 91 and 92 were the years that I really got into tennis because I watched the US Open, and I actually remember sitting on the sofa for what I reckon must be 13 straight hours without moving in 1992, as first Stefan Edberg beat Michael Chang in 5.5 hours, the longest match in US Open history. Then in between that, they had the women's final between Arantxa Sanchez-Vicario and Steffi Graf. That went on for 3 sets. And then they finished it with Jim Courier against Pete Sampras. That was in 4. And, I mean, I loved it, but it was absurd. Do you miss it?
Oh, as a viewer, I miss it. Yeah, if I was at home, you know, settling in on my sofa, I'd be thinking, God, Super Saturday would be good. My significant Super Saturday memory is 2003, the day, it was the Saturday when Roddick beat Nalbandian in that semi-final. There was the line call on match point in the tiebreak, and it was, I mean, just so drama-filled. And I think in between, there was a delay in between one of the various matches, and I watched a bit of Forrest Gump on BBC One and then switched back onto the telly, onto the tennis. And it was just, I mean,
you switched away from the tennis?
No, in a gap in the tennis. Forrest Gump fitted neatly into the gap in the tennis.
It was, are we going to allow that?
It was as if the TV schedule had been designed specifically for my viewing pleasure. It was one of the best days of my life. But now I'm involved in tennis, and I see all sides of it in all contexts. It's one of those things like, you know, smoking in cinemas. I can't believe it ever happened, really, because it is unfair on the players, undoubtedly unfair and unacceptable. And what we have now, luckily on the women's side, there's essentially a day in hand, really. So I don't think this adds too much to the unfairness. I think actually the decision they made and making the decision as early as they did made it as kind to the women's semi-finalists as it possibly could be.
Yeah, absolutely. That's right. They did make that decision early. It meant that the players could come in and practice. We saw Roberta Vinci walking around here. She eventually departed the scene. What would have been about 4:30 in the afternoon when she was due to play at 7 gives them time to rest up and come back tomorrow. It does mean that we get all four of those matches. But what is it like? Let's hear from Mark Philippoussis, a man that went all the way to the final in 1998, eventually beaten by Pat Rafter. Stan versus Roger Federer and Djokovic against Cilic. If we look back 12 years ago, you were Roger Federer's first ever Grand Slam final opponent. Pretty hard to believe.
Absolutely. 12 years ago feels like a very long time, and it also feels like yesterday. So the fact that it was 12 years ago and Roger has done what he's done, and to this point, 12 years later, still be, I think, playing some of his best tennis that I've seen. And that all comes down to just as how professional he is, and what he's done incredibly so well over the years is he's made sure that he's peaked physically and mentally for the Grand Slams. You know, Grand Slams have always been his priority, and for the big events, he's made sure he hasn't overplayed. He's made sure he's done the right things off the court, and so when he walks on for those Grand Slams, he's ready physically and mentally.
Just give me an idea of how your body feels 12 years on. I mean, that's what astonishes me. He still moves around the court like a cat.
Yeah, I mean, I've got 6 knee surgeries, so it's a little different story. And, you know, 2 completely different builds physically. He's very light, incredibly light. Strong legs, very light upper body. It's kind of like, you know, the tennis body that you want, same as Djokovic. Moves incredibly well, and he's always glided around the court. I think the closest mover that's been, I believe, one of the best movers on the court was Miroslav Mechia. They call him the cat. Maybe he didn't move as fast as Nadal or Djokovic or Murray, but the way he moved around, it kind of glided around the court, and that's what Federer does. He never seems like he's rushed. He always gets there with incredible, perfect balance, and he never looks like he's off balance when he gets there, so it's beautiful to watch.
So that's Mark Philippoussis, the finalist here in 1998, Catherine, and in some ways a forgotten finalist, isn't he? Because, you know, he got to 2 Grand Slam finals, and hearing him talk about Roger Federer and being the first ever Grand Slam final opponent of Roger Federer, his name is forever going to be inscribed in tennis history, isn't it?
Yeah, he's a very low-key guy, really. For somebody that was so sort of loud and proud on the tennis court, now he's just, he's around tennis still, but I suppose he doesn't do commentary, or he certainly doesn't hark on about all that he's achieved, which was an awful lot in context, and doing it against, I mean, he would have won Wimbledon that year had it not been. That was the day that Federer became Federer, wasn't it? It'd been talked about so much. I remember the previous year at Wimbledon, McEnroe picking him as a surprise winner of the title, and then he goes out in the first round to Mario Ancic, and you're thinking, God, will Federer ever become Federer? You know, and now we're thinking, will Dimitrov ever become Dimitrov? And of course, that day he did become what Federer is now, essentially, and somehow, how many years later, 12 years later, he's still that same Federer, if not better, which is extraordinary.
Well, when I asked Mark about the fact that it's 12 years, you could see his eyes widen as if to think, crikey, is it really that long? And to put it into perspective, and Mark Philippoussis actually played some matches quite recently on the tour, but you can tell, I mean, he still looks like young enough to play on the professional tour, Mark Philippoussis, but you heard him, 6 knee surgeries.
Yeah, there's absolutely no way his body would allow him to play more than a couple of matches, really. I mean, he's probably as well placed as anybody to fully appreciate what Federer is doing. I think we all marvel at it, but he must just be goggle-eyed at what Federer is doing. I mean, imagine him putting himself in the position of being in a Grand Slam semi-final. I mean, 6 knee surgeries, it says it all. He wears like a robotic cast thing on his knee when he plays, just to hold himself together, just so his knee doesn't sort of detach from the rest of his body. And there's Federer in 38 degree heat, barely breaking a sweat, absolutely making mincemeat of the world number 12. It's unreal.
It certainly is. And that was a match between Federer and Richard Gasquet, wasn't it, that you're referencing there, that he got through to the semi-finals in. I saw you put on Twitter last night something we've talked about before, another example of Federer's best being the best in tennis. I would say that Richard Gasquet didn't turn up in many ways. I actually expected more. Given the season that Gasquet has had, I expected more from him.
As did I. It's an awful matchup, and he looked like he went awful head-to-head, and he looked like he went onto the court not remotely believing, as well as being a bit specifically spent. But the comment I make about Federer's best being the best, that sort of, that exists in a vacuum. That's Federer in a vacuum, sort of regardless of, I mean, yeah, the big question is when and for how long he produces it. I wrote exactly that. I said Federer's best is still the best. It's just when and for how long he produces it. And when also means against whom.
And you're on record on the Tennis Podcast, brought to you in association with The Telegraph, as saying you think Federer's best will be enough at this particular Grand Slam tournament.
I did. I'm feeling all right about that, actually.
Still two matches to go, Catherine. He's got to beat Stan Wawrinka and then maybe the ultimate test, Novak Djokovic.
In terms of my prediction, I'm more nervous about the Wawrinka match than I'm about the Djokovic match.
What?
Yeah, I mean, who can't stand beat on his day? I mean,
16-3 is the head-to-head to Roger Federer.
Yeah, and I didn't say I was spectacularly nervous about it. I still think Roger will come through, and I still feel good about my prediction. But for me, this is the really tough one.
Roger Federer hasn't beaten Novak Djokovic in the final of a Grand Slam tournament for years.
But it's been coming. He's been so close. He's got. I'm not sure that's as relevant as people think it is.
Of course it's relevant. How can you say it's not relevant?
Say it
two
wasn't
Wimbledon
relevant.
Finals in a row.
Didn't say it wasn't relevant at all. I said it wasn't quite as relevant as that. You've been very combative today, David. Come
just
on.
Just telling you what I think.
I think I still feel all right about my prediction. I know, obviously, as I say that, I'm thinking back to Wimbledon when he played the absolute best tennis by far, by a mile, until the final, and he played all right in the final, but it wasn't the Federer that had showed up in the previous six rounds. So of course I'm very wary of that, but it's Roger Federer. It's,
yeah, but this is Novak Djokovic, world number one, nine-time Grand Slam champion.
I know. I don't feel, you know, I'm not betting my house on Federer winning like somebody was back at Wimbledon. I just think he's my marginal favourite at the moment.
Do you not think that the weather could come into play here? The fact that it's blustery. I know that the roof gives a bit of protection. We've talked to Pat Cash and other people today, socially more than on the microphone, just about the sheer pace of this court and how quick the conditions are. And that's one of the reasons why Marin Cilic is doing so well as well.
Yeah, I do think it could be a factor. Djokovic doesn't love playing in the wind, though, so I don't necessarily think that favours one of... I don't think, if you're positing that as a possible tick in the Djokovic column, I don't necessarily see it that way. He doesn't love it. Andy Murray plays very well in the wind. He'll be annoyed that he's not there to.
I think Djokovic plays all right in the wind. He can scrap a bit more than maybe Federer can. Although Federer's won this title in howling gales against Andre Agassi, who was a great wind player, I suppose.
He has. I don't think it's great for Federer. I think Djokovic deals with it fine. I just don't think he's a brilliant wind. I think it irritates him.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Djokovic, I think, shows his irritation in the wind. But what I agree with you. I think who the conditions are favouring the most is probably Marin Cilic. I mean, good on him. I'm so delighted for him.
He's done a proper title defence, hasn't he? Regardless of what happens from here.
He really has. Take away the massively swollen ankle, and we have seen pictorial evidence of that swollen ankle, courtesy of Goran Ivanišević shoving a picture of Marin Cilic's inflamed bare ankle in front of our faces this morning. And you don't want to see the photo, trust me, but you're going to have to believe us that it's not a pretty sight, is it? So
there are no tennis players' feet that are a pretty sight. Seriously, it's a horrible sight. Any tennis player's feet, right?
But take that out of the equation. He's still performed admirably, and I hope that doesn't sound patronising. It sounds wrong to say the defending champion coming in and reaching the semi-finals is admirable, but it really is. It really is in the context of everybody's expectations of him, and probably he doesn't walk around like it, with the demeanour of a Grand Slam champion. I hope he's proud of himself for what he's done, and then add in the twisted ankle. Extraordinary, I think.
He's a lovely bloke, is Marin Cilic, and we got to speak to Goran Ivanišević.
Goran, a year ago, Marin made an unlikely trip to the final and won the title. And he's had a pretty indifferent year. He's had injury, hasn't had the greatest of form, but here he is again.
Yeah, slowly, you know, he was not playing the greatest tennis coming here. Okay, quarterfinals of Wimbledon gave him a little confidence, but then coming to the US, thinking about 2,000 points and all the pressure, defending champion. Washington was okay, Cincinnati, Montreal not so good, but I told him, listen, Grand Slam, last year you didn't play well before you come in here and then everything turned around and you won a Grand Slam. So Grand Slam is different. Somehow he likes the tournament, somehow he likes this Artur Ashe court. Artur Ashe likes him. And he's producing some great tennis, and he's in the semis with unbelievable names in the semis, Djokovic, Federer, Wawrinka. It's beautiful.
How far away is he now from the form he was in this time last year?
Well, he's hitting the ball well. He's just a little concerned about the ankle that he twisted against Chardy. For me, it was a miracle that he even played against Tsonga, because the day before he didn't even practice match before Tsonga. I mean, he hit for 15 minutes, was swollen, was big. And I have to be proud of him. The effort he put it, he didn't even complain one time about the foot. He didn't even say one, he didn't limp. He just concentrated, focused, five sets after losing three match points in the fourth set. It's just a really great effort. So tomorrow, you know, he's playing a guy who he never beat 13 times in a row. He lost. So hopefully leg is going to be okay. But as soon as he steps in, he's not allowed to think about that. You know, he's just you go in or you don't go in. So if he goes on the court, he has to just think how to beat him, how to play his best tennis, give the best, and whatever happens, happens.
And what percentage is that ankle at the moment?
It's tough to say, you know, but sometimes, you know, when you come to the court and all the atmosphere, you know, you get loose a little bit and then you stop thinking about it. At the moment, I don't know, he's just hit the ball for half an hour. It's not great, but it's not so bad. So it's I cannot say about percentage, but I would like to be 100%, because against Djokovic, if you're not 100%, you can go, you know, to the beach and watch TV, you know. And even with 100%, you're not sure that you have a chance against him. So, but it's another 24 hours, and I think it's going to be okay.
And, I mean, last year, what we remember so well is how he won 10 sets in a row to win the title, thrashed Roger Federer in the semi-finals, playing ultra-aggressive tennis. I always remember the way he finished the match, three aces and an unreturnable serve. And I remember saying in commentary on Five Live that it was like watching you. And is that the sort of tennis he's going to have to bring out here? Is he going to have to be more aggressive than his normal game here?
Yes, and I said always, if he has a chance to beat Novak somewhere, this is the court. This is the place, this is the court. Because this is his favorite surface, favorite court, and he has a chance. But he needs to play well, he needs to be aggressive, he needs to believe in the shots, what he's hitting, and all these shots, they have to go into the court, which is very important, otherwise it's not good. But this is the chance, this is the court that he can beat him. Novak is absolute favorite, he knows that. He everybody sees him in the final already, Federer, Djokovic, but let's see, let's wait till tomorrow, you know, Friday. A lot of things can happen on Friday. No, Friday is a very interesting day.
Novak hasn't looked completely at his best over the last few weeks since winning Wimbledon. He lost in the final of a couple of tournaments, obviously playing well. A couple of players have pushed him, like Roberto Bautista Agut. Does that give you any confidence a little more than normal?
No, I mean, doesn't look good. He is like a shark, you know, and as soon as he smells the blood, he's going to eat you, kill you, spit you, whatever, you know. He doesn't give you anything, you know. Bautista won one set. It's only a little bit harder practice for Djokovic, also with Lopez, so this doesn't concern him. He doesn't care that he lost the set. He just spent another 45 extra on the court. So when you play against somebody with this shark instinct, you cannot give him, you cannot bleed. As soon as you bleed a little bit, you bye-bye. So he knows what to do. They are good friends. But one day he's going to beat him. Hopefully that's tomorrow.
Who do you think is going to come through the other half of the draw?
Oh, it's another, it's a neighborish semi-final, you know, two Swiss guys. Federer is playing unbelievable tennis already in Cincinnati, just very confident. But against Stan, it's a different story, you know. It's always tough to play against your countrymen and the guys who is just nothing to lose. And I think, I don't know. To be honest, I don't know. Federer is in better form, but like I say, Friday is a very interesting day, you know. Friday, a lot of things can happen on Friday.
Your hair's going a little bit silver, Goran.
Yeah, it's okay, you know, like George Clooney, you know. Hopefully I have success.
Is it that stressful coaching marriage?
Actually, stressful coaching, you know. But I still have a hair. They say the people who get gray hair, they don't go bald, you know. So we are happy, you know. We're not going to lose the hair.
Quick West Bromwich Albion question to finish off. Slaven Bilic has taken over at West Ham. When West Brom take on West Ham, what on earth are you going to do?
I love Slaven. He's a great guy. He's a friend of mine. He's a great manager, and I'm so happy that he's there. But, you know, my heart is with West Brom. So, Slaven, sorry. I can't cheer for you, you know. It's going to be, we're going to beat you. We're going to humiliate West Ham. And I hope Slaven does well for rest of the season, but against West Brom, no.
It's nice to see that Goran Ivanišević still knows which side is bread's buttered as far as football teams are concerned, isn't it, Catherine Whittaker? West Bromwich Albion fan, I taught him that 11 years ago, and he's still got it.
I don't know what to say to that, David. He's just sneaking West Brom into this podcast, crowbarring it in. Just bear with me, I'm still working on a number of players to become Reading fans. I'm working on it.
Just doesn't have the same cachet though, does it? Goran Ivanišević, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because he knows that his man has got a terrible record against Novak Djokovic, 13-0. It's awful. It's as bad as it can get. But he also knows what he did here a year ago. And I just kind of think, we were talking about it in the interview there, I kind of feel as though it might simplify the approach for Cilic. Just go out swinging.
I think that's absolutely what he'll do. Go out possibly swinging at the net even a fair bit. I mean, you've got to be careful of doing that you've got to be very smart about doing that against Djokovic. Of course, his passing shots are sensational, but I think absolutely. I think he will go out there very clear about what he has to do, and he might get beaten fair and square by the best player in the world. But I think you're right. His strategy will be very clear and very, if you like, one-dimensional. I don't think there's much to it. I think he has to do precisely what he did last year.
Indeed. We've got a fabulous day to look forward to. Super Friday it is. What it means is the matches all start at 11 o'clock local time with Serena Williams against Roberta Vinci, followed by Simona Halep against Flavia Panetta. Then the men's semi-finals from 5 o'clock local time. What that means for you if you're listening in the UK on BBC Radio 5 Live Sports Extra, it'll be on at 4 o'clock in the afternoon with that Williams-Vinci match. Then the men's semi-finals will start at 10 o'clock UK time, 11 o'clock Central European time. Crikey, I don't know where to start. Catherine Whittaker, you're here for Eurosport. They're going to be showing it as well. There's so much to look forward to tomorrow. Who's going to end up winning? Who's going to win those four matches?
Oh, quite well.
I'll tell you what I think. I think Serena Williams is going to win. I think Simona Halep is going to find a way past Flavia Panetta. I think both of those are going to be straight sets.
It's and then, David.
Well, and then I think we're going to get Roger Federer squeezing past Stan Wawrinka in four, and I think we're going to get Marin Cilic losing to Novak Djokovic in three.
I will adamantly agree with you on the women's side. I'm afraid I think Roberta Vinci's sensation as she done might find herself with his cannon fodder tomorrow. Not that there's any shame in that.
Do you think she's got the sort of game, though, that little slice and dice game that could make things a little bit nerve-wracking for Serena? If you think of those matches Monica Niculescu played against Serena earlier on in the year, and actually a few weeks ago, 6-4, 6-3 was the result for Serena, but it was competitive.
Possibly.
You don't believe me, do you?
There's always that element, you know, there's the Serena versus herself element as well, which, you know, every time she gets a step closer, that will become more of a feature. But I still think, I can't see any way Roberta Vinci's coming through that one. On the men's side, I agree with you about the results. I think I agree with you about the scoreline in the Federer Wawrinka. I think those will be four extremely tight sets, though. I think it could be a marathon, you know, an Anderson Murray type four setter. Still, I think, the longest match of the tournament, despite only being four sets. And I think Cilic might get a set off Djokovic, actually. I think it'll be competitive, but I do think Djokovic will come through. Sorry, Goran.
It is one to look forward to. We hope you enjoy them. We hope you've enjoyed listening to us here on the Tennis Podcast, brought to you in association with The Telegraph. Check out The Telegraph website for all their sports previews on this wonderful day of matches ahead, and we'll speak to you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.